If there's something you really want and really desire, it's on the other side of the edge.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 83.
Woo! I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, magic, and manifestation more relatable
and fun.
See how when I'm sitting in this seat, I can just nail it. But if I'm anywhere else, I can't do it.
No, we need to be together. That's the golden rule.
It's very discombobulating. Mm-hmm. That's my word of the day. I feel very discombobulated today.
Well, you've done lots of travel, lots of waking up at 4 a.m., 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's been... Yeah, it's been pretty intense few days, but all good stuff.
Yeah. I still feel like we're kind of finally got our feet back on the ground after, I mean, maybe not you, but I feel like my feet are back on the ground post-retreat. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm able to look at it now fully and be like, wow, that was incredible. That was a massive success. And tomorrow... We already have another one launching for our Patreon only because the demand was so high to do another one.
Yeah, so
if you had, together.
If you had FOMO and you're not in the Patreon, get in now because when this drops, you might have already like sold a bunch of spots.
Out.
It could be sold out. We don't know. We're doing a New Year January in San Diego. We got this. When I saw that house, I was researching all of these. The next, you know, we just stayed in a huge cabin. This time we were like, let's do California. Let's do like Southern California. So it's a little easier for us to get to and it'll be warm in the winter. We had this like vision for the new year, bringing abundance into the new year. And I came across this house and my first thought was, this looks like a Love Island set and we must host a retreat here. So if you want to pretend you're on a reality television show.
Oh my gosh, it's so bougie. It's got like a heated saltwater pool with a swim up bar and a water slide and giant fire torches. And the pool changes colors and you know, oh, it's just, there's a tennis court and a huge grassy lawn.
There's
it's
like an outdoor
magical.
Kitchen, I think, as well as
there's like kitchen. Two or three kitchens. It's a huge villa.
Yeah, it's a villa. Just a like villa. The Love Island villa. You know, I haven't watched like that many. I'm not a big reality TV show consumer, but I've watched like two or three seasons of the UK Love Island, like the first season and the fifth season, I think. I don't know if there was any other ones. But what I'm getting at is they play the most ridiculous games on the show. Mm-hmm. And when I was really into it and watching all those seasons, because I kind of had this phase where I did it all at once, I was like, I want to have a Love Island birthday party to put those ridiculous games together. But now I don't have to do it for my birthday. We can put together some funny, cute games to play at the villa.
What is the theme of your birthday this year?
The theme of my birthday this year is Disco Cowgirl, which is really an excuse for me to decorate my house with a bunch of disco balls and never take them down again.
No, Greg, we're still celebrating.
Greg said no multiple times. I'm like, well, once they're up, they're up. He won't take them down.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's how I got Halloween decorations up for like 3 months last year, because I had a Halloween birthday and I had August, September, and October.
The theme of my birthday this year is Mamma Mia / ABBA Sultry Santorini Nights.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Shimmery Santorini Nights.
We could get a disco ball for that too.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring one over. I'm going to start ordering them soon. I'm getting like a lot.
I'm so excited.
I want to deck this place out because we have the beams on my living room. Mm-hmm. We have them in here too. So I just want the beams to be like dripping in different sized disco balls.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed. Yeah, I already ordered for my birthday last year and this year. It's like, I think I have 6 people come over, but I order decorations as if 45 people are coming.
Yeah.
Because decorations make us happy.
They're so fun.
I'm not going to rob myself of that.
No.
So We've got some fun summer birthdays. And then next year, of course, you can join us for our birthdays in Bali.
Bali.
Which is going to be, I mean, maybe we'll, you know, bring a disco ball to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I bet we could get like an inflatable disco ball thing. Yes. I bet we could find something for the beach, like a disco ball beach ball or something.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So, Sadie, tell me everything that's new with you.
Okay.
I didn't see you. You were out of town a little longer. You had a trip. Tell me everything.
Yeah. So, I stayed an extra week after Juliet came back. And so, I was home for a few more days. And then my family has a family reunion every single year. And we always just say up north, but it's like northern Wisconsin. We call it up north. So, we go camping with my mom's side of the family, the extended family, and then I just got back yesterday, so I made a few notes about Ooh. Things I wanted to share.
Okay.
So let me get my notes up.
I'm ready,
so I don't forget anything. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about is, I think I shared a little bit, or maybe have made comments, that I had a member in my family attack me verbally for being a witch, and said really awful, hurtful things. And I was going to a family reunion, and I was really anxious leading up to this family reunion, but I was like, I'm not gonna not see my family because this person said something to me, right? Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that. Like, that's what something the old version of me would do, would be to avoid it. That was sort of where I was at, where I was like, the old version of Sadie would avoid this and just not see the whole family for like years in order to not deal with this.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. Like, I deserve to see my family. And I also am not going to put some sort of thing down and say, I'm only coming if this person's not coming. I didn't want to do that either. That didn't feel good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited until the last minute, but I was still proud of myself because I placed a boundary. I have this person blocked on all my social medias and everything, but I texted this person and I said, hey, what you said to me was deeply traumatizing, because I kind of think that this person thought it, like, they said sorry and it was all over with and I didn't think about it again, which mm-hmm. it was not the case. So I said, what you said to me was deeply traumatizing. I'm still working on that. We have a big family. I mean, I said this all very nicely, but I was like, we have a big family, so we can avoid each other. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear you talking about my mom if, like, I'm nearby, and I don't want to hear you talking about my mom, especially to my immediate family. Because the comment was that I was never going to see my mom again because she was in heaven and I wasn't going there, which is just, I'm laughing because it's so ridiculous. So, yeah, she, like, the worst thing you could ever say to someone who lost their mom, basically. And I was really nervous. And then I waited till it said, the text said delivered. I said this all very nicely, and I ended it with, like, thank you so much for respecting these boundaries. I love you, Sadie. I said that. So it was all very nice. And I wait till it said delivered, and then I blocked right away because I didn't want to receive a text back, whatever. But then I had all this anxiety. I'm like, what if it didn't really send? And, like, this person walks up to me. So, in the end, well, actually, while we were driving up there, and so I was going to see this person within the next few hours, or they were going to be in the same place, the drive up there, it's about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, and I have never felt so, like, physically surrounded by my spirit team.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I just kept seeing signs, and I was so anxious, and then all of a sudden, I just had this groundedness. It was like after I took that action and placed the boundaries, my whole body like regulated itself, and I just, like, I have goosebumps now thinking about it, because I just physically felt like a weight around me, but like a good weight, like a weighted blanket that helps with your anxiety. Like, I felt this, like, pushing down on my body that was, like, really grounding, and I felt so safe. And I still had a little bit of nerves about it, but I just couldn't, I couldn't believe how present I felt, mm-hmm. and, like, so clearly felt. And then I just kept seeing all of these signs, these angel numbers, and, you know, just, like, random things as we were driving, and it was incredible. It was absolutely amazing. And then When I got there, this person very carefully respected my boundaries, would walk away as I walked in, and it was all fine, and it was all great, and no one in the family said anything.
Oh, good.
And it all went perfectly well. So I wanted to share that if you have a situation like that, to, you know, make your boundary known, do what you can to help ground yourself and do what's right for you, and do it with love and with respect. Mm-hmm. Because the angry part of me was like, this person doesn't deserve my love and respect, but that's not going to make the situation any better. Like, I don't want drama in my family. I don't want my family trying to talk to me about why, whatever. I was like, no, the best thing I can do for myself in this situation is just approach it and be like the bigger person. So I was very proud of myself for that. And it went okay. But not
being the bigger person in steamrolling what you needed.
Right.
Because sometimes I think people say, just be the bigger person and go up and say hi.
I had this very clear visual of like the old me, if I would have made it there, probably first of all would have just not gone, but if I would have made it there, I would have just let this person walk up to me and hug me out, and they say like, you know, I'm sorry about that. I would have been like, oh, it's fine, it's no big deal. I had that very clear like timeline play out in my head, and sort of this pat on my back of like, good job, because that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. That wouldn't have been being the bigger person. Like, you're right. So mm-hmm. I just felt really, I was like, damn, Sadie, you've grown.
Yes, you have.
Juliet knows I've been stressing about this family reunion for quite some time.
And rightfully so. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable when somebody says something or does something that is so inappropriate, and then it becomes our responsibility to figure out how to create space. It's like, why do I have this job now? Like, it was awful, and now I have to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was so beautifully handled.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt good about that. The other, I wanted, because you had just, I think, texted like, oh, I decided on an Abba themed birthday. And then when we were driving up, my youngest brother, Tommy, the little one, mm-hmm. he was like, Sadie, do you like Abba? And he started playing an Abba song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what a synchronicity. That was one of the synchronicities. I was like, oh, like, I was like, oh, I'm in alignment.
Totally.
I was also laughing, thinking about some of this. Juliet was there forever. My brother, who's in the middle, I'm the oldest, so Tommy's the baby, Luke's in the middle. And some of the funny shit he said while I was home. Luke is the, like, very, like, I don't know. It's very innocent and sweet how his brain works. Like, for instance, Juliet, he was like, well, one of the things he said, he's like, so you've never been anywhere like this before, while we're like at my house and we're mm-hmm. in the country or whatever. But we all went out to dinner as a family with Juliet, and we're just waiting for our table, and he's like, so Juliet, what kind of soil do they have in California?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He's like, what is it, sand? Is it
clay? Is it like a mix? And we were like
I what? Don't know.
He's so weird.
He just wanted to know. I really like him a lot. He's, I like your little brother sweet. Too. I didn't have much time to like really connect with him.
He doesn't connect as much. He's like a little more closed.
But yeah, Luke's very funny.
He's hilarious, and it's like he's funny when he means to be funny, but he's even funnier,
he's not trying to be funny.
To be fair, he is a teacher, and like he's taught multiple subjects, and I think one of them was like about geography and like what's it called when you're like learning about that stuff. So
it was such, I was like, oh, I don't know.
I was like, what are you, why are you asking that? Is this how you make small talk?
There's seven of us sitting at a table for four.
Yeah,
we couldn't have been more crammed, but I loved it. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Your dad was a little confused by the setup.
Yeah, he was not happy, but he's not the kind of guy that'll speak up and say something.
I know. I was like, that's, do you want to move? We can move. Because like, I was like, I'm not going to judge you. That's where
I
get it from,
that
you.
I have a hard time. Yeah.
I'm the total opposite. I'm like, oh, I can't sit here. This is not for me to sit.
Yeah, he's funny.
Oh, I do. I just remembered I do have stories. Okay, continue.
Okay. The other thing that me and my brothers drove up separate from my dad to up north camping. And we're not talking about my dad at all. We're just sitting in the car. And Luke out of nowhere goes, I really like hugging my dad. Because he's my dad. And I was like, that's the cutest thing you've ever said in your life. And he was like, I was like, why were you thinking about that? He's like, I don't know. He's just like really, he's really big and, and you know, just hugging him, it feels good because he's my dad. And I was like, Luke's just driving, thinking about hugging his dad.
Aw, you're never too old to hug your dad.
I was like, well, you know, I like hugging my dad too. You're right. We should think about that.
Oh my gosh.
So the rest of the trip, like, we kept going up to each other, mean like, I like hugging my brother because he's my brother. I told my dad and he was like, you guys are weird.
I wish I spent more time with your dad, but the first night I stayed at your house, I was in bed asleep by like 6 p.m. I was so tired from the retreat and everything. Yeah. And he made me this like beautiful, Heidi made me this beautiful dinner. I slept through three meals.
Literally, then okay, so Juliet went down at like, I think you went down there at like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then we were sort of like, we were kind of like texting for a while because we were excited about the possibility of another retreat, and I was mm-hmm. looking up houses, so we were kind of like interacting for maybe another hour,
and then I went silent,
and then she went silent. And then it's the next morning. Okay, so I'm pretty sure she knocked out around 7 or 8, right? Mm-hmm. p.m. It's the next day and I get up around 8. And I'm up, and I know, I'm like, oh, Juliet likes to sleep in, so, you know, but I'm like, but, you know, she'll probably be up earlier because she went to bed so early. So I'm not, it's fine. But then around like 10, I start getting worried, and I'm like, maybe she stopped breathing down there. Maybe something happened. Maybe like there's a freak thing and she's in a coma now. Like I was like, I'm gonna give it to 11. And then at like 10:55, Julia was like, good morning. Or I had texted her, I was like, let me know when you wake up at some point, because I was nervous. I thought maybe she's just laying down there relaxing, but she's really awake. But she didn't text that for hours. And then around 10:55, she's like, oh yeah, I woke up. I was like, wow, I was just about to come down there and make sure you were alive, because I started calling
nurse. My gosh, it was at least 14 hours of sleep. I was so tired. Well, because when we were at the cabin, I didn't sleep great. I maybe got like 3 or 4 hours each mm-hmm. night, just because it's hard for me to sleep with like multiple other people in the room and all that.
Yeah. I never sleep good the first like night or two I'm in a new space too. Mm-hmm. It's just different.
But yeah, I had a good sleep. Aw, I like hugging my dad because he's my dad.
Aww. So go hug your dad, everybody. Okay, then the final thing I wanted to share to wrap up the Wisconsin experience is the last day before I flew home, my grandparents on my dad's side came over. So my grandma and grandpa Olson. And I think I've shared about my grandma Olson before. She loves to hear all the hot gossip in the small town mm-hmm. and all the Amish community and all of that. So that was hilarious to catch up on. But I thought it was so funny. I was like, oh my gosh, she's such a like a farmer's housewife, because she was barefoot and she's like always barefoot when possible. Like she got out of the car and walked into our house with no shoes. I don't know if she even brought shoes with her. And that's like growing up on the farm, she was always barefoot. She just liked being barefoot. I thought that was cute. But it was funny because my dad's fully involved in this conversation too, because he knows, I don't know who they're talking about, but I think it's still entertaining. And they're like, oh, you know, my grandma Olson's saying the actual names of people, but she's like, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, they're milking 200 cows now. They used to have 100, but they doubled their herd. And like, oh yeah, so-and-so, they're, you know, they're hatching like 1,000 chickens a week now. They bring us eggs. They have unlimited eggs. They just drop the eggs off. Nothing like fresh farm eggs. Some of them are big and some of them are little, you know. She's just going on and on. Mm-hmm. And then she looks at me and she's like, do you like hearing all of the Amish gossip? And I was like, I should be recording this. Yes, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Go on. And then the final thing that I thought was hilarious was that she was talking about someone had, I don't know, I think it was like, she said it was like a mile or two down the road, that some guy like started living on his land in like a mobile home, and he's just kind of a weird guy, like kind of off-putting, makes people feel a little uncomfortable. And she was like, did you know so-and-so started locking her doors? As if it was absurd that she was locking her doors. And she's like,
can you imagine?
She was like, that's only a mile or two down the road. I started locking my doors too. Oh my gosh. As if it was just insane.
Oh my gosh. She would lose her marbles to hear the car stealing story.
Well, I was thinking about that too because, you know, we just leave our garage open all day. And every time I would ask to like borrow a car, they'd be like, yeah, keys are in the car. The car's unlocked. The keys are in it. It's just sitting outside the house, you know. But there's, you know, we know everybody. So where are you going to go?
That's so nice. I did feel extremely safe when I was in your town. Really, really safe. It felt like the vibration moved a lot slower.
Yeah.
In a comfortable way. Mm-hmm. Not like in a boring way or anything, but like just in a...
Oh, a little boring.
Maybe a smidge. But just, you know, Los Angeles vibrates very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And I would say so does New York. Mm-hmm. Just, I think New York vibrates even higher.
There's just, yeah, there's like more people... And their vibrations,
just
right?
Just more electricity. So just,
yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I was very tired on this. I took a nap under a tree. I just laid on the grass and took a nap under Sadie's tree because I wanted to enjoy her large yard, which I did. But it's just beautiful there.
Yeah. I was like, whenever I go home in the summers, I'm like, oh, I could like live here. And then I go home in the winter and I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm never living here again.
I can't do it. The snow would be rough for me.
But it was lovely to be home for 2 weeks. And then in like literally exactly a month, I'm going home for another week back to Wisconsin. Not home. We're going to a cabin. But I love that now I work for myself. I can go home for long periods of time. It used to just be very like, well, I have this many vacation days or, you know, some jobs I didn't even have paid vacation days, so I had to like budget like, oh, I'm not gonna get paid for this many days, and you know, this money for Christmas, this money for the summer, even if I even made it back for both of those. And then I have such a wanderlust. I want to travel and see so many different places, and I would just sort of had this like, oh, I'm never gonna do that because if I don't live at home or near home, then I have to use all my vacation days to see my family. And I had totally given up on the concept of being able to like ever see the world, which is so sad. But here I am now and I can do whatever I want, so.
Yay, I know, I haven't thought about vacation days in a long time. It's like if we wanna go somewhere, we just book it.
And we can work there, but I have to try not to work because, you know. But, you know, when I went camping, it was so nice. I almost brought my computer with me. I'm like, Sadie, what could you possibly think you're going to do on your computer? My phone didn't even have service, but it was so nice. Like, I had, like, little spots of service a little bit so I could post stories once in a while. Or, I mean, they took, like, an hour to upload and an hour to send a text. But it was just so nice. Like, I couldn't scroll. My emails weren't popping up. I was forced to disconnect, and I came back with such a renewed energy. And I think it was like a perfect storm of like the retreat and all the work we did there, and how amazing that felt to just be with everybody and then being with my family and then just being completely disconnected, like no phone, no computer, being forced into just like total detachment from my business and thinking about that. And yeah, I just came back. And the crazy thing was, is that I feel like, I'm curious how you're feeling after the retreat. It's been like 2 weeks now. I feel like all, like, we wrote vows to ourselves, and we really like worked on like releasing parts of ourselves that are no longer serving us, and stepping into this version of ourselves that we really desire. And I've had like a little bit of a struggle the past few months. I've been in kind of like a scarcity mode, like kind of struggling to like feel grounded and like the direction I want my business to go next, and all of these things. And so that was my intention, was to release that scarcity, step into abundance mindset, make decisions from that place, abundance, love, that's it. And then I had this like wonderful break, and then I came back and like, all of these things are just happening.
Oh, nothing makes me happier than when I get these like minute and a half voice messages from you. Cause I'm like, great. I love running with ideas. Mm-hmm. And I love that they channel through you. And so I'm like, great. That's what we're working on next.
Yeah. I just,
very excited.
I started getting, the visionary came around, that version of me. And I was seeing all this stuff. It's like the universe puts in front of me, like, here's an example of what you're doing next. So I found these like two girls that have this like, it's, you can look it up, bossbabe.inc. And I love what they do. And I love that it's two women and that they have this like all of these things that they, I love the way that they've set up their system. So I was, they came across my line of sight and I went, oh, like, that's where we're headed. That's so cool. So it sort of just sparked these new like, okay, so what if this is what's next? What if this is what's next? What if we build ourselves to do this? Like, kind of like, I'm just ready to level up.
Yeah, I am too.
And really streamline our processes and really like put the things in place for us to just, yeah, just, we're in such a good place now, but like, let's, we're going to be gaining some visibility soon and like, let's get stuff in line for that to just like carry us to the next level. So that was happening. My visionary status came in and then like, I swear like 90% of the time I take flight when I land, I open my phone and Juliet's like, this crazy, we just got this crazy email or,
yeah,
or DM with an opportunity. So I need to take flights more often. because I'm always like, every time I land, I'm laying an egg. So just like, and then I got invited on Chatty Broad's podcast and shout out to the Broad Squad. And just like all of these things are like suddenly like, well, can you ladies do this? And oh, can you come on this podcast? And oh, can, you know, all these new ideas are forming. And I'm just like, holy shit, like that happened so fast, yeah, after the retreat and those intentions. I just, yeah, I really feel like I really walked through that portal, like really, truly, and I'm already there to like those intentions I set. I'm curious how you feel.
I feel really good. I feel a level of confidence and like capability, mm-hmm, that I think a year ago was not there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was there, but it was nowhere near as strong. I just feel like I know I've said for, you know, years and stuff, like, how hard could it be? Like, anything's possible. But mm-hmm, I really feel like I'm living that energy and that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I did say this, how in the vow it was like, the universe loves everything you create, but it loves you more. Mm. And just this thing of like, the more you lean into your own essence, the more you share who you are, what you feel, like all these things, like the more magic you're going to call in. And so that's been very exciting. No, I'm feeling really good. Really good right now. Very excited. Here's what you missed when you were out of town.
Yeah, what's new with you?
Victor's family invited me to an afternoon at Medieval Times.
We gotta do that. Next year's birthday after Bali.
Yes. So I had never been. And what it is, if you don't know, is you go to this big indoor arena, mm-hmm, and you sign in and they assign you to a knight. You pick there's like a color knight depending what section you're in. So we were in the blue section and they give you a blue paper crown. Everybody gets a crown in the corresponding color of their designated knight. So you go, you sit down. It's like these long rows, uh-huh, with like a little table in front of you, really skinny table. So if you can imagine like a circular arena, but like the rows have tables in front of you. Mm-hmm. And, so the people in the first few rows, I guess they're VIP seating, so they get these flags that they wave, and it's really, really cute. So it's a lunch or dinner show. It's like, mm-hmm, dinner theater. And what I didn't fully grasp was you are expected to, this is going to make me sound, just wait, so prissy. You're expected to eat everything with just your hands. They don't give you utensils. Spoiler alert, I asked for utensils. I was like, they dropped half a chicken on my plate and everyone's just tearing it apart. And I was like, I just can't. I'm sorry. And I was like,
Next time we bring our own utensils.
Could you just bring me some silver? Because I'm like, there's got to be people with different sensory issues and different disabilities who need a freaking fork. And so anyway, or just people like me who I didn't realize how much I didn't just want to touch a slimy chicken. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So
no, I wouldn't either.
You got garlic bread, tomato bisque, which you had to just no spoon. You need to like drink it out of a bowl. This potato thing, and then literally half a chicken. It's not like chicken nuggets that you can just finger food. It was just half a chicken.
I don't like eating meat off a bone.
I don't either.
I don't know what to do with it. I'm like, where do I start? Where do I begin?
Yeah, I just sort of stare. And Victor was shocked. He's like, you're not eating it? I was like, no, I need utensils. I don't like camp. I'm not going camping, and I'm not eating this with my hands, okay? Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call me easygoing. I'm medium going, medium maintenance, and mildly wild.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the combination. So if you're like me, I represent you. I hear you. I'm with you.
I would have not eaten the chicken altogether.
Okay. See, that makes me feel better.
Well, I probably would have been like, Craig, find the white meat for me, and I don't want to see the rest of it, and put the white meat on my plate.
I mean, it was like you could see the whole little thigh and leg and bone. And,
yeah, I hate that.
Not my favorite. So while you're eating this okay food...
This medium.
I mean, don't go for the food.
That's not why you go.
Out come these knights. And I don't know if you've seen these TikToks where there was this really sweet woman who went, and she's like, 2 hours later, I'm straight, because the knight was so gorgeous. They hire really young, attractive, athletic, long-haired young men.
Long-haired men, my favorite.
I know, me too. To ride these horses. And they're all in the knight attire, and they go fast, and they compete. They joust. There's a queen and some other guy, and there's all this dialogue. It's a full-on production. When they do the joust, they have to put these nets down because of the shrapnel. When, like, the, what is it, javelin hits the shield, like, wood explodes everywhere. I mean, it was, then out would come these horses that would do the little dressage, like, boom, boom.
If you're not watching, my mouth is just, my jaw has dropped.
Now, here's what I will say. In the gift shop, and this is the one in San Bernardino. No, San, I don't know where it was. It was sort of near Anaheim. There's these glass walls, and you can see into all the horse stalls, which is cool. You can see all the horses. I did have a conversation with one horse, and this was the feeling that I got. And this is just a feeling. I didn't feel like they were being abused. I didn't get an abuse feeling. But I also didn't feel like they were thrilled. It was almost like, time to work. Like,
yeah.
And I have this video, and if anybody was near me, they must have thought I was just on something. Because I was filming the horse, and all of a sudden I felt like they were talking to me. And I was like, oh, another day? You don't feel like doing it today. I know. I know. And I'm just talking to this horse, and I just... You know, I'm sure there's animal rights groups that want this, you know, rid of. And I'm sure there's some people who think it's fine. They're not like, you know, beating the horses or anything. But I just felt like it was, you know, like when we had to go to a job we didn't want to go to.
This is sort of the scene in the first Harry Potter book/movie when Harry doesn't realize he's talking to the snake.
Yes.
What if Juliet made the glass disappear and the horses escaped like in
and
Harry Potter?
And then I ride off on it.
Yeah. Just like in Harry Potter.
Juliet Potter. I would have loved that. I would have loved that. Funny. So yeah.
You were literally having the same conversation with those horses as Harry.
Kind of, yeah.
Basically. He's like, oh, bred in the zoo. You never seen Brazil? Oh, bummer. You know, like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like these horses just want to roam around and eat hay. I'm not sure they want to be bum, bada, bum, 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 and the costumes they put these horses in. I mean, it was kind of funny. But I hope they're being treated well. And it was just the Green Knight. Okay, the Green Knight. He was a smaller man, but he was so beautiful. And he rode that horse so fast, and he was victorious in the end. He was the winner. He, like, won every battle. And then they would do these, like, whole sword fights. They would joust on the horse, and then they would leap and jump and roll off the horse. The horses knew that was the cue to run away. Like, the horses had, like,
chills.
They knew their part.
I can't handle this.
And then they would do these crazy sword fights, and when the swords would hit, sparks would come off the swords. And it was quite interesting.
You would enjoy. I'm gonna go by myself this weekend.
You would enjoy it.
Oh my god, this is like, because I'm so into like all of those fantasy worlds where there's knights and stuff, you know. It's like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. You would enjoy this.
Oh wow.
And in addition to learning that I don't want to eat chicken without,
is there a vegetarian utensils. Option?
Yeah, I asked about it, but it was like a bean soup, and it just sounded worse than half of the chicken, so I just sort of went for the chicken. But there is. I realized, and Victor realized, I cannot understand like old English. I sit there, he kept looking at my face, and I was like, what on earth are they talking about? I could not follow
like
it.
Like Shakespeare vibes?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty hard.
That's how they were talking. I can, you know, here, good lady, hello, good sir. Like, I can go with a sentence, like, let the games begin. You know, I can hear it. But when they start talking about anything longer than 4 seconds.
Yeah.
My brain, I truly understand Spanish better. They could have been talking in Spanish and it would have made more sense to me. So I learned that about myself too.
I don't know if I know that about myself, because I feel like when it's in a show, they tone it down enough where there's no...
You're going to go to medieval times and you're going to say, Juliet, what are you talking about? It was so easy to understand.
Maybe. Because I've tried to read, you know, I love reading, but like I don't really like reading plays, so that's part of it. But like, I love a lot of really old books, like particularly I love like old Russian literature. So it's not about it being like old and it's not for me, but yeah, like a play, and I've tried to read Shakespeare and I'm just like, I don't get it, you know?
Are you the same as me? Are you prone? Do you prefer using utensils? And can you understand Shakespearean Renaissance-y? I don't even think this was the Renaissance. This was like pre-Renaissance.
I have literally no idea.
Anywho, so that was Medieval Times Day, which was so much fun. And then a couple days later was the 4th of July, which felt weird this year.
Yeah.
And there was this little meme that I saw going around that said, it feels like my friend was mean to me, but I still have to go to her birthday party.
I saw like a TikTok of someone. It was like the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July, or it's America's birthday. And he's like on the phone with his friends. He's like, what do you mean you're not coming? I ordered like 20 pizzas. And she's trying to explain, like, yeah.
That's sort of how it felt. So I just felt funky that whole day, which, you know, it made me feel... I feel like with everything going on, I have a level of empathy now for other groups that may have felt funky about the 4th of July in years past. And I've always felt like America's like an imperfect but like ever improving kind of place. But it is scary when it feels like things are moving backwards. So it was kind of a funky day, but I was like, you know what, I'll just go see some fireworks. We went down to the pool. So many of our neighbors that we love were there, and some of our friends came, and we did have a really nice day. But it did feel weird.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like, I was like, oh, I have a new understanding of, like, not everyone has always felt like that, you know, we're like, we're America, the land of the free. Mm-hmm. And it just has never been the case for everybody, ever. And so now to be kind of put in that group, it feels like more. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I guess I didn't realize. It gave me a new understanding of how probably people, specifically BIPOC people, have felt for and our LGBTQI+, am I saying all the letters, community has probably felt for a very, very long time. And I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize like what a privilege it was to like not think this during a celebration like this. So it sort of gave me a new sense of understanding of like my own privilege and some of those privileges being taken away. Not us, we're in California, we're safe. But just, yeah, just feeling that like, oh wow, a new level of understanding for some other groups. So, you know, learning moment, appreciate that. But shit is scary right now.
It's really scary. It's really scary. It's really sad. It's this, you know, tonight in our coven meeting, we're doing like a sacred rage ritual, because I think a lot of us just need a safe space to feel it and really let it move through us. It feels so familiar and so ancestral. I was having this moment yesterday, which is sort of related. I wanted to just wash my clothes in the bathtub. I didn't feel like going down the hall. As funny as that sounds, I was like, I just don't feel like doing that. And I was sort of, I had all the clothes and I was stepping on them, you know.
Oh.
And I had this weird, I was like, oh my gosh, how many of my ancestors washed clothes this way?
I've never done that.
Like, it felt, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in a really hot triplex in Chicago. Like, I just felt things. It was so weird.
Interesting.
And I could sort of feel into the feelings of, you know, the experience of being a woman has historically, now, I mean, maybe, I'm sure it before the patriarchy really took flight, it was different. But for many, many hundreds and hundreds of years, historically, been this way. So it was just like, it's just a weird moment, just a weird moment. But I also was, me and Victor went to this really beautiful restaurant in Santa Monica called Elefante. And we were walking around in Venice after we passed by a little library. And I just got this really strong pull to grab a book from it. And I usually just walk past those. And there was a Marianne Williamson book. Do you remember when she ran for president like a few years ago?
No.
Okay. Well, Marianne Williamson ran on the Democratic ticket. And she's like, it would be like if you or I ran.
I probably just wasn't aware of like who she was, and that's why I don't remember that about her. Now I know who she is. So
okay, I was obsessed with her. I thought she would be remarkable, but anyways, she's this spiritual teacher and she's an author, and the book was called A Woman's Worth, and I was like, I'm taking this home, and I'm maybe 12 pages in, and it's already just about how we are so, like, unique and so powerful, and like how important it is. She talked about how important it is to tap into like the goddess energy. I mean, it was spot on. Well, maybe we'll do a reading of it 1 week on the podcast. But it was just so timely, and it came out in 93. It's an older book, but it's this thing of like how do we come together? How do we maneuver? Because that's the thing. Women have always had to maneuver. We've had to maneuver. Now we have to maneuver again. So it's like, how do we maneuver? How do we join together? How do we support one another? Because the powers that be, I think, have always tried and will always try to make us feel like we're less than, like we're a second class citizen, like all these things. But in my soul, and we chatted about this at the retreat, I'm just unwilling to go there. I'm just unwilling to go there. I don't buy into it. That doesn't mean it's not happening. That doesn't mean we don't have to fight for it. That doesn't mean all these things. But just on like a cellular level, I just know that none of that's true.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when you look back to like Native cultures, most of them are matriarchal, so it's always the woman leading, the woman sort of being looked up to and making decisions for the community and all of these things. And then the modern world decided, no, patriarchy time. So I think that is a testament to when we go back to those cultures, and there, you know, there's still cultures out there today, of course, that are more in touch with their native roots, and you see like when we're more connected to like Mother Earth, right? It's not Father Earth, Mother Earth, and our roots and our ancestors, and sort of a more, I guess, simple like way of being, like not all of this stimulation and you know, like the capitalism we live in and all of this stuff, which I think there's so much great about our modern society, of course. But when we go back to sort of like where we began, it's like, it's all about the mother.
Yeah.
It's all about the goddess. And then somewhere along the line, it's like men were like, oh, we can't have that. We have to be the powerful ones. And it switched. It's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I hope more than anything that somehow someone is listening to this in 50 years, in 100 years, and things are different.
And they go, what an interesting piece of history they lived through.
They feel a chill right now because they're like, oh my gosh, like, whoa. Because I feel in my heart ultimately, I mean, if you just look at numbers and like how younger people feel and believe versus older generations, mm-hmm. like eventually we're gonna move in a more loving and empowering direction. It's just gonna take time. And it's like, I think it's like all we can do is like take care of our hearts, take care of our souls, take care of, you know, other women, other people who can get pregnant, other people with uteruses, and, you know, vote. That's what we can do.
I think it is like one, you know, there's both sides of like how connected we all are. Like, you know, yeah, we can get really caught up in social media. We can be following things or seeing things that are not good for our mental health. But I think a benefit of us all being so connected is that we're so aware that we are not the only ones with a full human experience, because there's so many beautiful souls online being vulnerable, sharing their stories, bringing humanity back. Like, I think when we don't always remember that, like, oh, like you are having just as in-depth and that's what I'm looking for, just like a broad, deep human experience as I am. And it's so obvious because it's out there. Mm-hmm. It's in front of our eyes, so that we see the humanity in each other. And of course, there's also the opposite end of that of like, of course, there's bullying online and awful things and whatever. But yeah, I do think that as our generation and the generations that are younger than us grow up to be the leaders, that it's I really believe it'll be different, because it's weird to grow up, or we didn't quite grow up. We had some of our childhood and some of our most of our high school like without social media, but like just to be so connected now, I can't imagine that. I just think these older generations, these freaking white men, they don't see the humanity in who they're leading. And that's just not going to be the case as our generations grow up. Hi, Boo. Come up.
Oh, I haven't seen you in so long.
Boo's here.
I missed you, Boo. I missed you, little stinker. Hey, don't bite.
She's been so snuggly today and last night. She missed us.
Yeah.
Get comfy. Oh, okay. I'm going to slither around a little bit.
Yeah.
So, with that, we wanted to chat today an hour into the podcast.
We had a lot of catching up to do.
We did. And it's all important stuff to chat about. But we wanted to, I guess, sort of briefly chat about something that we've been experiencing going, the boo's just going to fall. Something we've been briefly, or recently, not briefly, boo's distracting me.
Because she's so beautiful. We've been
recently.
She's so beautiful.
Bumping up against. We want to talk about edges and what that means and how it plays into your journey of self-discovery, of growth, of creating your dream life, because we've been experiencing that lately.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think of an edge, it's like the, you know, we have our different areas of our life. So if I'm bumping up against an edge in my business, that might mean a couple things. It could mean the level of income. I've reached a certain point and I'm bumping up against this edge, and it's really hard for me to energetically get to past that point. Like, I've bumped up against an edge of like where I'm comfortable and where I feel like, you know, there might be worthiness work to do there, limiting belief work. It's like this wall that you've sort of placed for yourself in an energetic way. Or it could be like, it could have to do, if we're still talking about business, like with like your audience, like bumping up against an edge of like, you know, I was growing really great, and now I feel like I've been stuck and stagnant in this one place. Maybe it's in a relationship that you feel like you were growing together and everything was going so good, and then maybe things got a little stagnant and things haven't moved forward, and you feel like you felt stuck in the same place for a while. There's all sorts of ways we can bump up against these edges, and it's like, sometimes it feels like, am I moving backwards? Am I failing? Am I doing a bad job? But it's really just this space you've entered that's, it can be viewed as exciting because it's a challenge. It's like, oh, how do I push myself to get to the next level? And what does an edge mean to you, Juliet?
So we run into edges in all these different areas of our lives, okay? And, you know, one of them is, the first one I'm thinking of, because I know that when Bryn Daler was on, we talked about it in a romantic sense, in a sexual sense, when we are like, ooh, this is new, this is different, I've never done this, I don't know if I want to proceed, like, should I stop here, should I push it a little bit? Same goes in our lives. I will bump up against an edge sometimes in the way I show up online, and I've been playing with that a little bit. We had this fun moment at the retreat where it was like, you know, what do you want to call in? What do you want to release? And I was like, I just want to be hotter. And that's just never any word that has ever been used to describe me or that I've used to describe myself.
As hot?
Yeah. I mean,
that's not true.
Oh, thank you. I mean, Victor thinks I'm very hot.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, whatever was told to us in high school gets ingrained in us. And it's like, I was not a hot girl in high school.
Really?
Just, oh, yeah.
Were you, like, cute instead? Like, hot versus
cute? I was,
cute.
Like, I just can't friendly and creative this. And oh. cute. Like, I wasn't asked to prom. Like, I wasn't, like, hot ticket item back then.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think people would say I was, like, friendly, creative, and, like, pretty, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then there were, like, girls who were hot.
Gotcha.
And I'm ready to be a hot girl.
I think you're a hot girl.
Thank you. Thank you.
From one hot girl to another.
Yeah. So, you know, that's been an edge for me, and that's been a fun one. In our business, it's like we sort of bumped up against it a little bit in our most recent launch because the way that we did things for the first round of Quantum Goddess were not working. It was not, we were not yielding the same results. And so we really hit an edge there of like, okay, how do we approach this differently? How do we, you know, share more information in a different way? How do we come at it from a different angle? How do we get behind, you know, this new price energetically? Like raising prices is a new edge. Investing more, that's a big one.
Yeah.
We have edges in our finances. It's like, oh, I'm willing to spend this much on something, but never would I spend this other amount. And these are edges that we create. And the only way to get past that, if we want to, is to push past it. And so that's why a lot of people will invest $5,000 or $10,000 in coaching or in a program. And just that action alone puts them, like, it's not even the coaching that does it. It's the investment they made. It's the fact that they pushed past such an edge of theirs that all of a sudden they open up in this whole new way.
Yeah.
Sometimes just the act of paying can do that. Of course, you know, we don't advocate for you to be irresponsible in your spending, but sometimes that'll do it.
Well, and I think it's very, I've seen it very true. And I think I've brought this up before, like, with my Activate Your Magic program, when it was first being created, I think I charged like $100, $200 for it, and people didn't really finish it. They didn't get, they got, some people got a lot out of it, but there was a broader, a higher percentage of people that didn't complete it or didn't take it. They, maybe they watched the videos, but maybe they didn't do all the journaling. They didn't take action through it. But now I charge $888 for it, like $900 for it. And people show up for the calls. They complete the coursework. They take inspired action. It's the same program. So it wasn't that I had to make it so much better. I knew how much I wanted to eventually pay for it. It was more about getting my energy there, bumping up against my edge of my capability to sell something at that price. But the worthiness of the program was always there. It was always worth that much. And I honestly think it could be worth more than that. But when you charge somebody more, or rather when you charge somebody less than what something is worth, you are not doing them any favors. Mm-hmm. Really, truly. Because we get more out of things that we invest more in. We dig deeper into it. We appreciate it more. We value it more, of course, because we paid a higher value for it. So it's really, it's like from the seller's perspective, we're pushing up against an edge to feel our worthiness in selling something at that point. And then it's about building the trust. And then our clients are there and they're bumping up against their edges of trusting themselves to invest in something, and you know, it's up to them to find that value in it. Like, we're giving them all the value, but if you don't participate in the program, if you just bought it and do nothing after that, of course you're not going to get the value out of that. So it's really been an interesting, I think that that's the, we had this more difficult launch. I, you know, we like being transparent with you guys. We worked really hard for this launch. Mm-hmm. Selling has been really, really easy for us the past while. And we bumped up against this edge. And what's interesting is, one, we learned how to launch better, and our next launch will be so great. And two, it made me get into that visionary zone of like, oh, like, what's next? How do we take this even further? Like, what else are we offering in this realm? Like, I want to, like, we were tested and we showed up because we believe in this thing, in Quantum Goddess, so much. Yeah. And we're so obsessed with it. And I think it made us both realize, like, oh, we are obsessed with helping women build businesses. So we're going to keep launching this program, and what else can we do for this clientele, these people that are ready to be entrepreneurs. So it's been exciting, but it's been hard.
It has. I think another edge just came up for me, and this might be something that you can relate to, beautiful listeners, beautiful besties, is being open about your witchcraft practices, mm-hmm. your spiritual side, your intuition. You watched my journey with that unfold. That was really hard for me. It felt unsafe. It felt uncomfortable. There's all this fear. That was mm-hmm. such an edge. And so, Boo, you cannot participate today. You are being too feisty. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try again, though, because she's tenacious. And you know what? We do like that go-getter energy.
She's pushing up against our edges. She's pushing against
my edge. But I just don't want you to sit on my lap today, because you have a dingleberry and your claws are going to ruin my beautiful new pants. They already are. Okay. So go to your mother.
Come over here or you have to go.
So,
ow.
Go. You can bump up against edges spiritually as well. And
settle down.
The only way out is through, pretty much. Oh, look at her. The only way out is through. It's like you have to, if there's something you really want and really desire, it's on the other side of the edge. So it does feel weird. It does feel uncomfortable. You do feel vulnerable. You do feel like a little unsafe. Your ego is going to freak out. You've probably felt this way when you click pay on something that's a higher investment than you're used to spending, or when you share more of yourself with mm-hmm. other people or online, or you share a big piece of your story. Like, it's, you know, our edges are very malleable if we allow them to be.
Yeah. I have another actually really good example of an edge that I'm going through.
Ooh, tell me.
Life is just speeding up right now, I feel like. So, you know, I've been talking about how I really want to start a family kind of soon, right? Like, I'm like, I have baby fever. I want it to be like a year, maybe two, but like, that's in the foreseeable future for me. For the first time, I'm like, I want this, and I don't want to wait that long for it, right?
Okay.
And Craig thought I was joking for a while, but he's taking it more seriously now. And it's really actually brought up a lot of stuff for us. I feel like now that he's like, okay, and actually for the first time on Chatty Broads, he said, I'm ready to have a baby. And I was like, did you just seriously say that? Yeah, it was crazy. We're not going to do it right now. Don't get too excited. Bali first. Mm-hmm. But he said it, and, you know, we're both thinking about this, and it's like, well, that's, we've lived together for a couple years now, so that was an edge to push up against of like, oh, we're really entangling our lives in a deeper way, so this is pretty serious, right? There's that level of commitment, and we've talked a little bit about marriage. It's not something that either of us are, I keep joking, but I do mean it. I'm like, I want a ring, but I don't really care. And I want a party, but I don't really care about like being married. But this baby thing. And so we're ready to like within the foreseeable future to like level up the relationship, right? And it's really brought out a lot of funky stuff for us. Like we've really, it's like we're pushing up against that. This is a new edge for us. And so I've noted like we've kind of been bickering a lot lately, and we're kind of like stuff is coming up where we're like, it's becoming very obvious, and it's exactly what needs to be healed right now.
Oh wow.
It's becoming very crystal clear of like, oh, this is going on, and that's why in this area we don't always get along. Like it's like we're being shown exactly like this shit needs to get taken care of, guys, because you're ready to do this new thing. All right. Like, and you're ready for that in a year or two. Great. This is what needs to be worked on. It's becoming it's very interesting. It's very clear. So I think that's an example of like a relationship edge of like when you're kind of like, okay, I'm ready for this next thing. And that's like, oh, that's an even new level, whether it's like marriage or having a kid together or moving in together. It's like, that's an edge. That's a big thing. Once you move in together, you're like, that's like so much of your stuff becomes one, right? And so it's just been interesting where I'm like, oh, we're both a little uncomfortable right now. Things are sort of getting sorted out, but it's all good things. But you know, it's been a little stressful because we're both serious about this happening, but we're like, you know, we have some shit to take care of before that happens.
But I think that's so beautiful. It's so funny. I was driving here. I was thinking about how, because in our house, there's a lot of marriage conversations. Mm-hmm. And how that's a big edge. As deeply as I want it is as much of an edge, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, your identity kind of changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And your name might change, although even if I legally change my name, like, I'm not changing it publicly. Like,
yeah, I think I'll probably legally change it if we get married so that I have the same last. Well, if we didn't get married, I would make my kids have my last name because I fucking made them. But so we could all have the last name.
He could Craig Conan Olson.
Yeah,
that sounds nice. And I always say, come on, do Victor Piper Salazar. And he's like, no, I'm not doing.
But for
that.
Business, I would never change. I would just be I am Sadie Olson forever. Same. Yeah.
But like that is a little scary. Mm-hmm. And also, we don't have to change anything, but it's. You know, well, it's a big option.
Look at Kim Kardashian West and her fragrance line. She had to nix that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. there's just all these things coming up because it's like stepping into a different version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Even with a baby, I think about it and we talk about it a lot. And every day he's like, oh, we're going to have a baby. And I'm like, you know, I'm very fertile at this moment of the month, and I was like, too. Well, today would be, of course, I was like, today would be a great day, and he's like, no. It's like we're both excited, but it is it's a big edge, and you know, it's gonna be so interesting and amazing and scary and wonderful and exciting to push mm-hmm. past all of that and to like embrace these new sides of ourselves, because my mom always says, she's like, there's men, there's women. Of course, this is her very like linear way of looking at it. I'm not not acknowledging other or non-genders. There's men, there's women, and there's mothers. She's like, it's motherhood, it's a different breed. And so it's just very like, it feels like an edge. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be that.
Yeah, I think the thing is like, you're never going to be ready to clear that edge, right? You just have to sort of, I'm just picturing of just sort of that, like, you know the water's going to be so fucking cold, but you just kind of hold your breath and hold your nose and you jump in and you're fine. You're, like, maybe shocked at first, but you're fine and you actually feel really good.
In anything you want to do, in any edge you're feeling, you just have to sense, like, deep down, do I want to do this or do I not? Because if you don't want to do it, do not jump in the water. Do not make the investment. Do not have the baby. Do you know what I mean? But if you like are like, I really want it, I'm just terrified, the only way to get past that edge is to jump.
Yeah.
And Sadie and I have done a lot of edge pushing and a lot of jumping in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Like an unbelievable amount. I mean, if you watch like episode one versus now, like there's a different energy in the air. Totally. And even what our life was a year before that, like, it's just wild. It's wild what can happen when you see your little limits in your bubble and you are willing to be brave and make it a larger bubble and a larger and a larger and a larger. And I almost feel like the bigger your bubble is, the harder it is for somebody to come and pop it.
Yeah.
I just made that up right now. But I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He wants to be a dad.
I know, he said that, and then I was like, oh, shit. I went, oh my God, seriously? And then it kind of freaked me back out. And then I got in my head, I was like, well, no, I got, and then I got back to the space of like, no, I'll wait another 5 years because I have to do all this stuff. And it's like, Sadie, you can do all of those things and be a mother. And that's what I'm excited about is to, especially like I've said this before, but in our Patreon community, we see so many cool moms that are like moms and artists and moms and all of these different things. And I'm just like, I'm excited for the opportunity to show up and be visible and be like, I'm a mom and I get to do all this other shit too. So fuck whatever you think that moms don't do, because I'm gonna do it all.
I love that.
I'm gonna push those edges.
Did I tell you that? So we have a really beautiful big two-bedroom apartment, and one of the bedrooms is is Victor's office. Victor's office slash I'm gonna say a closet, really. He has so much stuff. And I don't have a thing in that room. It's like his own room. And that's just the way it worked in our family. That's how it works. And so I told him, because we stopped looking for houses because it's just, it was not feeling empowering or encouraging at all. Like, when we get to a point where we can look, it'll feel that way.
Yeah.
But it just was feeling very restricting and very, and I was like not settling into where we were living. And I was like, well, if we want to have a baby, like, we have to move. And he's like, actually, we don't. Like, we have a second bedroom. I was like, but that's your room. That's for all your stuff. He's like, you think I wouldn't move all that stuff out of there?
And yeah,
like in a heartbeat, so we can have a nursery. And I was like, oh, you're right. I was like, well, I wasn't gonna, you know, ask you or expect you to do that.
Yeah.
So it's just so sweet that you and I are both in these homes and in these relationships and in these places in our lives where it's like, oh, we would figure it out.
That's the thing. It's like, I'm like, there's so many families out there that, I mean, my parents are a great example. They were in college. They were like entering their senior year of college and they figured it out. A less than ideal situation to start your family, right? So I'm like, that's an example so close to me, but there's so, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm nowhere near well established enough or at the place, you know, financially or with my home that I want. But I'm like, my parents had me and they had a roommate that would wake up and rock me back to sleep so my mom could sleep. Like, we're in a great place. And and with that, you know, year, like, I think we both kind of want to give ourselves a year or two. It's like, so much can happen in that year or two where it's even better. And it's just like holding that intention of like, this is where I want to be when I start my family. And I want to start my family soon. So let's figure it out. You know, the edge.
I know. I sort of feel the same
way. This would be great when we're both sitting here.
With our big bellies.
We're going to put this outfit back on. This is going to be a great maternity dress.
This is not going to be a... Well...
I can't wait. I'm gonna wear all sorts of crop tops so my huge belly's always hanging out.
Oh my god, so cute.
I can't wait to have a big belly.
I know, me too.
When I was a little girl, I'd always shove stuff up my shirt and aww, pretend to be pregnant. I'm like, I don't know if I'm more excited to have a child or just to be pregnant. And I hope, you know, I know a lot of women have like really miserable pregnancy. So I'm praying that I have a healthy, wonderful experience, but we'll see.
Let me tell you how this is going to go down.
I think I'm going to love it.
You're going to be the happiest pregnant person there ever was. I'm going to be sick as a dog. And that's just the way it's, I just know it. I know I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be like, that was the worst 9 months of my life.
Did your mom have a difficult pregnancy?
Horrible.
Oh, yeah. See, my mom
hated it.
I don't, you know, because I don't remember my brother Luke, but my brother Tommy, I remember because I was nine, about to turn nine when he was born. And so, you know, they told us after like that 3 month window, and I don't remember her ever showing any, I have no memory of her like being sick or like noticing that she was like, you know, had a lot of morning sickness or anything. I feel like I would have noticed that. I was a very observant kid and I mm-hmm. didn't get out much. And then, you know, I just remember her like being so cute. Like she'd always like rest her coffee mug on her belly or have her little hands, you know, like on it. And then I would always be like, Mom, can I set like my book on your belly and see if it stays? And like, I just loved when she was pregnant. Like as soon as Tommy was born, I was like, can we do that again? Like I wanted her to be pregnant again so bad.
There's a mom that I worked for many, many years. When her first baby was one and now she has four kids. And the oldest is like 8 or 9, I think. I haven't seen them in a long time and I miss them. But she was the happiest pregnant person I've ever seen in my life. She would be 8 months pregnant and like painting the ceiling and mowing the lawn. Like nothing stopped her. And she was so cheerful.
Yeah.
And she never complained. And I was like, can I please have that?
Yeah. We're going to affirm it for you. It's going to happen.
Affirm.
I know. I remember we had this really cute book when I was little, and we read it while my mom was pregnant, and it had the different like months and like how big the baby was and how mom might be feeling. And my favorite part of the book was like there was so much of the time where it was like mom's probably tired and you know and whatever, and then like at the very end there was like mom's got a burst of energy in month, I don't know which, I was like maybe month 8 or whatever, and that might have been like the nesting phase too or something, but it just showed, it was like this little cartoon illustrated and mom was at like an aerobic class with this huge belly and aww, I was like, that was my favorite part of the book.
I'm excited for us to bump up against that edge together and for all of you to witness it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be so unbelievably special.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have little babies that are going to run around at the goddess retreats.
Yeah. We're going to have a family-friendly goddess retreat.
Yeah. Summer goddess bring all summer the babies, camp.
But you have to take care of your own kids. Maybe we'll camp. Bring some teenagers to help us.
Yeah, we'll do.
We'll hire some daycare. Yeah,
they'll do some activities or something.
Yeah, we'll actually. Yeah, that'd be fun. Get like a property that has like cabins or something, so little families mm-hmm. can stay in cabins.
I'm very excited for our lunch today because in our Beyond Quantum Goddess group, we did a whole call about quarter three, because now that we're in July, we're in quarter three of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing call.
Mm-hmm.
If you graduated from Quantum Goddess and you want to join so you can rewatch that, let us know.
Yeah.
We can get you in. But it makes me excited to go to lunch with you today because I'm like, we're going to have our quarter three meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very excited about. And my goal for us this quarter is to bump up against more edges.
Yeah, we got some work to do. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, in short, after a 55-minute catch-up and
20 minutes,
7-minute
mindset topic,
you will feel it because you'll feel like you want it, but you're also a little nervous and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that that's all normal. And the only way to be the kind of person you keep ruining my pants. And boo. I love you more than anything. But I do also love these pants.
But I love these pants more.
I'm just going to sit like this. if you desire something and it scares you, that is an edge. It is always worth, in our experience, mm-hmm. pushing that boundary, because the more you push it, the more comfortable you get, the bigger that bubble opens up, and the more you become the type of person who is the type of person you want to be and has the type of life you want to have. Mm-hmm. If we never, ever, ever, if we always hit an edge and then just retreat, we will never grow. We can't succeed. We can't have all the things that we want. We'll just stay the same as we were in like middle school. And then it's going to be really sad when you look at your yearbook and it says, don't ever change. And you're like, oh my God, I never changed.
Yeah.
Always change.
We're always changing. We're always growing. We can change our minds about what we want to. Mm-hmm. Maybe bump up against an edge and you realize that's actually not what I wanted. I want this instead. That's great too. Edges can teach us a lot. So if you're in our Patreon community, let's chat. Like, what are the edges you're bumping up against? If you want to mm-hmm. join the Patreon, it's so fun. We have a Discord server with almost 80 babes in it. All sorts of categories of different chats, dreams, psychic moments, spells, deities, witchy resources. We have a main chat. We're chatting it up about our new retreat come January. That's open to the Patreon only. But you can join anytime and get in on that retreat. I would do it soon because it's going to sell out. Mm-hmm. And it's just the most supportive, wonderful, magical space. And now that we got to spend like a full weekend with just a small chunk of that community, it felt like everyone was there with us in a way. And it just sort of really, it's not that I didn't believe it was all real before, but it really grounded me in the reality of like how amazing our community is. And it's how real it is. It's so real. We have babes joining every week, every month. So you're not too late to get in on the fun. You will receive the warmest welcome. Everyone's going to be so excited to meet you. And let's chat about edges. Juliet and I are in there every day. It's so fun.
Let's pull. Ooh, here, yeah. I'll pull from Intuitive Magic Oracle. Sadie's going to pull from our brand new
Quantum Goddess
holographic deck. We will pull a card to give us the collective some guidance about edges. I'm so proud of both of these decks. They're so beautiful.
Shine on this one. If you're watching the video, the holographic is so good. And then the cards themselves on the reverse side are so bright and colorful.
And then this one's like a little yummy hug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's very nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like slower energy with that
this,
one.
This is the Wisconsin deck.
Yeah, and this is the LA deck. Flashy, pushing you to take action.
Pushing you to bump up against some edges.
Some edges. And you know what? I think this is a great edge card that I pulled. And, you know, let's say if you come across this episode on day one that it drops on Monday, you can still pre-order this deck for a discount. So make sure you get your pre-order in today, the day mm-hmm. that this episode releases. It'll be for sale to the general public very, very soon. But we're taking pre-orders right now. We're so excited. Do you want to do yours first?
Yes. So the card that I pulled is Resilience with a mushroom. We love little mushrooms. Mm-hmm. You can make it through anything. Rise up, beautiful soul, and keep going. I think that's so spot on, because when we hit an edge, we might feel defeated.
Mm.
We might be like, well, that's the end of the road for me.
Yep.
And it is a journey of being resilient and trying again. And okay, I really didn't nudge it this time, but I'm going to try again. Resilience is the perfect card.
And how many times have we said, like, when you feel like giving up is like such a good sign that you're so close to the biggest breakthrough, like literally that's what we're talking about. It's the edge. Mm-hmm. It's like when you feel at that point where you're like, what am I doing? Why do I even bother? I'm giving up. That's when you're so close. You're so close to breaking through that edge, baby. Okay. I pulled a rich witch card and an inspired action. So it says, share the abundance. Do something nice for someone else today. Make a donation, leave a big tip, or go out of your way to make a kind gesture. And I feel like this goes right along with the resilience message, because when we are bumping up against an edge, when we're facing a challenge, we can kind of go into scarcity mode. We can go into fear mode. And a great way to counteract that is to, and a great way to get back into the abundant energy is to share the abundance. It might feel a little counterintuitive. If I'm feeling scarce, should I really be sharing my abundance? But yes, because it'll get you back in that energy. It will feel really good. And it doesn't have to be mean money. But this week, your challenge is to do something nice for someone else. That's your inspired action of the week. So make sure you go pre-order your Quantum Goddess holographic deck. Oh my gosh, it's so pretty. And we have low stock on our Intuitive Magic Oracle. So while you're there, you might want to also grab your Intuitive Magic Oracle deck, because they're so fun to use together. They're like the perfect.
It's like a beautiful message and a beautiful action. Someone's being feisty.
Boo is trying to eat the plant again. She's like, Mom, I'm starving. As if I don't feed you.
Okay, so we told you about the retreat. We told you about the Patreon. We told you about the decks. We gave you a special reading. We talked about edges, and we got to hear that it's good to hug your dad because he's your dad.
Because he's your dad.
And we're both going to get pregnant in like 2 or 3 years.
Craig's ready to have a baby. I can't believe it. Aww. Now I'm freaking out. I'm like, never mind. Just kidding. I'm ready. Kind of. Maybe. Ah! Edge. So this week, really reflect on where you might be feeling discomfort and when your intuition is calling you to push past that and go for it anyways. Because in our experience, like we've said, it's brought nothing but good into our lives.
Yes, absolutely.
We'd love to hear how this episode inspired you. Chat with us in our Patreon, DM us. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you're on our email list. Every Monday, we send out a love letter. It's a brief little recap of the episode, plus an oracle card reading of the week and a Goddess Hangs challenge. It's a great way to integrate what we talk about in these episodes into your life. It's journaling prompts, actions, all sorts of ways that you can really solidify what you're learning in the episode into your life. Because listening is one thing and taking action is a whole nother game. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Goddess Hangs is our podcast Instagram. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper.
Check out our website, goddesshangs.com. There's all sorts of fun merch. And yes, even a blanket with our faces on it. The blanket you never knew you needed.
Oh, it's my favorite blanket. I snuggle with it on the couch.
Super soft, for real. Anything else?
I think that's it. We love you. Thank you for being our best friend. We cherish you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.